So the Knicks led by 18. The Hornets came back to take the lead in the fourth quarter. Hornets had a chance to win it in the final seconds, but the Knicks outscore Charlotte 14-5 in overtime. The Knicks pick up their 40th win of the season. They go to 40-31, still very much alive for the fourth spot in the Eastern Conference, pending the results of the games involving the Hawks and the Heat.
Woo! Woo! Excited? Woo! No? All right.
Jesus. This team. What are we going to do? You want to take your baby sister? Everybody's awake in the house right now. Man. What are you doing? You're here too now? Oh, Jesus Christ. What are we doing? Oh, my God. All right. The Knicks win a game that they lost three different times. I don't know how they won it, but they won it. What are you up to? Tell mommy to come in here and get your baby sister. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, guys. Here. Take this thing. Oh, God. I love those kids. Don't trip over my cord. All right. There we go. All right. Knicks win. Knicks win a game that they probably had no business winning. It's funny. They should have. When I say the Knicks should have won that game four times, the Knicks should have won that game in the first half when they were whatever they were, 11 for 13 from three or 10 for 13 from three, and they couldn't put the game away early. And, you know, a couple of maybe not so great contests, you know, gave the Hornets some threes. They should have won that game in the third quarter when they went up by 17, and then they couldn't stop the Hornets to save their life. Little concerning that in the last two games, we've seen stretches for about 8 minutes apiece. Where the Knicks were just not playing good defense at all. And then they lost the game for a third time in the fourth quarter when they couldn't get a bucket at the end. So I guess they lost the game three times, but they ended up winning. So all's well. The missed call in the end on Burks with the foul would have been pretty atrocious if we lost the game because of that. There would have been a lot of things you could have pointed to where you could have said, if they lost the game, you know, this thing or that thing or that thing would have been, you know, just really heartbreaking because it was that kind of a game. It was a frustrating game. It was a game that looked like, again, by the fourth quarter specifically, some of the guys were gassed. You know, we've seen this from the Knicks, right? We've seen this from the Knicks where they get to a point where it's like the game is right there. The game is right there. And then they're like, all right, let's just dump it into Randall or usually Randall, but whoever. Sometimes it's Burks, sometimes it's Rose. Let's let them manufacture a bucket. We saw that at the end of the Lakers game. And then, you know, if they don't do it enough, I mean, we're going to get to Randall in a second because he had just an absolutely outstanding game. And I have zero critique to offer of him because he's – you know, he's an All-NBA second-team player, or at least he should be. He's going to get MVP votes. He should be getting those votes. All the accolades in the world. Other guys had really good games. There were some lineup decisions, rotation decisions, rather, that we could point to. We'll talk about those in a little bit. But I thought for the most part, hey, this Knick team, here's what I'm going to say. This Knick team, if someone before the season went to you and they said, I'm listening to my voice in the other room because my wife is listening or watching. And they said, you can place a $1,000 chip on either the Knicks going over 20 wins or under 20 wins? What would you have done? You probably, because you're watching this and you're an optimistic fan like me, you probably would have placed your chip on over, right? You probably would have placed your chip on over. You would have said, yeah, no, they'll win over 20 games. But you would have thought about it. You would have taken a minute. You would have been like, well, wait a minute. Hold on. Who's in their division? And how many times do they play these teams? How condensed is this season? Who's their starting point guard? You know, where is this team going to manufacture late game offense? Who's going to hit threes for this team? You would have asked yourself all these questions. And in the end, you probably would have placed that $1,000 chip on the over for 20 wins. And we're sitting here and we're talking about 40 wins. We're sitting here and we're talking about 40 wins. So hats off to everybody on this team. Hats off to everybody in this franchise. Hats off to all the players, Tibbs, everybody. Everybody. 40 wins. 40 wins. And a must-win game. Not a must-win game today, but, you know, a game they wanted, and they got it. Let's get to some stuff in the Super Chat. Slacker Hero, 40 wins for the Knickerbockers of New York. 6 triple-doubles for Julius Dion Randall. We love to see it, even if this game was a heart attack at times. Many heart attacks over the course of this game. Leon C, thank you for your contribution. Nerlens with the Tyson Chandler rebound tip out. Love to see it. Now Milwaukee better take care of business. Yeah, let's go Milwaukee. So for anybody just joining us or who doesn't know, if Milwaukee wins tonight against Miami and the Knicks win tomorrow against Boston, the Knicks are the 4 seed. It's that simple. Very easy. If Milwaukee loses to Miami tonight, Knicks are still alive for the 4 seed, but Miami would need to lose tomorrow to, I believe, the Pistons or some such shitty team. I thought Nerlens Noel had a really nice game. Nerlens Noel had a really nice game. He had a great game. Love the blocks. I thought his best defensive play wasn't even one of the blocks. I'm going to put that in the newsletter on Monday. It was a play late where he got his hands in there or something. He's so good. He has just the best hands in of almost any center in the league. EM, good teams win the games they're not supposed to win. Any word on what happened with Rose? Good work as always, J-Mac. Yeah, I could sit here and be like, yeah, Rose's first game back. He had the sprained ankle. Maybe they didn't want to push him past 25 minutes. Honestly, I think Tibbs just went with his gut. I didn't see any injury suffered by Rose during the game. Maybe somebody did here. I certainly didn't. I think Tibbs felt he needed as much shooting as possible, which is why Rose was on the bench. And this is going to be the point of contention for a lot of people, because I actually don't think, as crazy as it sounds, in terms of just point guard play, in terms of running the offense because of how much Randall does, I don't know if necessarily the drop-off from Rose to Burks as a facilitator, as a creator, as a guy who can get to the rim, as a guy who can make stuff happen, I don't know if it's that great. And when you factor in Burks' shooting, you know, I think, if anything, your point of contention is quickly over RJ. Because, now granted, quickly had more points, but, like, I don't know. We've seen RJ heat up in the second half of these games. It's a gut check, a gut move by Thibodeau. It ended up working out. Would he be getting critiqued by me and a lot of people in here if it did not work out and they lost this game? Abso-fucking-lutely. Harry Doner, thank you so much for your contribution to the Super Chat. Always so generous. I'm still waiting. One day, Harry, one day I know you're going to ask a question. P-Swag-123, huge Knicks W. Huge. That's how we say it in Staten Island. Huge. There is no H. It's U-G-E. By the way, did you see Alfred sulking at the end of the bench in overtime? I did not see that. I do not care. Alfred Payton has played his second to last regular season game as a Knick. I mean, he'll probably play. Like, you've heard my theory. I think he's going to play the first 5 or so minutes of the first playoff game, and then probably that's it. You know, for those games, we'll see someone else start the second half. That's my hope. That's my guess. We'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, I hope he wasn't sulking, because that would be really shitty. And I saw, you know, he had a foul in the backcourt at one point in the third quarter, and Randall went over and talked to him for a minute. I don't know if Randall is like, don't worry, dude, it's almost over. Because I'm sure Alfred wants to get the fuck out of here as much as, that would be my guess. I shouldn't say that. I think it's possible that Alfred wants to get the fuck out of here as much as we want him out of here. I think it's possible. CT Pittman, man, what the fuck? CT, first of all, you're the man. Second of all, can you private message Andrew and let Andrew know what you do for a living? Because once I've exhausted all of my Nick takes and I'm looking for another job, I want to go do what you do, brother. God bless you. Appreciation super chat. Thank you. Can't stay for the stream because I'm going to hang out with my mom. Oh, that's awesome. I was hanging out with my mom during the week. Great win. Macri is the goat. I am a goat. I am a goat. I eat grass and cans and I shit wherever I want. My wife enjoyed that one. Thank you and KFS for all your work this season. Thank you. I mean, I don't have enough. I don't have enough words to express my gratitude and thanks. Thank you on behalf of myself, Jeremy Cohen, Andrew Claudio, whole KFS team, everybody, Chris, obviously. And thank you, CT Pittman. Herko Dijic. Hey, John, thanks for your great content. Thank you. Love your work. All the best from Holland. Wow. I would love to go to Holland. That's the place where they have the spinny things, the windmills. I would like to go and see a windmill in Holland. That is my goal. Sean Ahern, what's going on? The 40th win made me feel like I'm 40. How old are you actually, Sean? Because I'm fucking 38 and it sucks. Could have laid down in overtime, but punched the Hornets in the mouth. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. I'm not ashamed to say the end last minute. I forget. I think it was after maybe Burks missed a runner, Burks missed a runner. Randall missed the runner. With the left hand, I thought they lost, and especially when they gave the call at the end of the regulation with 10 seconds left that they didn't get the ball. I was like, oh, this game's over. I'm gonna go up there and I'm gonna talk about this loss. Didn't let it get him down. This team, you know, they're not perfect, but don't tell me anyone has more mental fortitude than these Knicks, because nobody does. Again, I'm not saying the execution is still piss poor sometimes down the stretch of these games, but don't tell me any team in the league has more, you know, outside of maybe like, Miami or some team who's been there again and again, you know, the Lakers because they have LeBron. But like there, in terms of mental fortitude, I think this Knicks team is up there with any team in the league. So that's a great comment. Robert Cross, do you think Tibbs starts Elf because he wants Rose as the sixth man and IQ is not ready to start? I mean, look, we've talked about this so many times in the chat. Why is he starting Elf? There's been so many theories at this point. I do think at the end of the day, God's honest truth, I think there are other factors at play, and we don't need to go into them right now, but I think at the end of the day, Tibbs would not do this if he could not somehow justify it to himself basketball-wise. And here's how I think he justifies it to himself. I think he justifies it to himself by saying, look, if this fucker can just get me 5 minutes, 5 minutes at the start of each half, and then every other domino stays in place. Because here's the thing, right? We could say, I have sat here and said multiple times, put fucking Burks in the starting lineup. Put Frank in the starting lineup. He's like the offense is going through Julius anyway. Put anyone in the starting lineup. But keeping Elf there keeps all those other dominoes in order, where it's like, okay, I could put Rose and Quickly and Burks out there. And then at the end of the game, I could go with whichever two of those is having the best game. And, you know, guys aren't getting too gassed. Look, is that my attempt to put lipstick on a pig? Absolutely. It's the best I could come up with. It's in some ways, I think, the safest choice. In other ways, I think it's incredibly dangerous. And in other ways, I think it's playing not to lose. And I'll say, I hope he doesn't do it in the playoffs. Give me, if you want to give me 3 minutes to start the game, give me 3 minutes to start the game. And then that's it. But I just, no. Okay, let's keep it going. By the way, I think Pedro Partida, he's our best point guard, wink, wink. Yeah, you got that ready. Emil Boumansour, 6 a.m. in Australia. What's going on, my man? Would have had had a heart attack if we lost. Surprised D Rose didn't close the game. Wave Payton. Yeah, I again, we'll. I'm sure I have the Tibbs presser up on the screen here, and we'll see what Tibbs says. Maybe someone asks him about why Rose didn't play more. I'm seeing the picture now from it looks like our man Julito put it out on Twitter about Elf soaking on the bench at the end of the bench. Yeah, that certainly looks like a sulk to me. CPM, no quitting this team. Can't wait to see what's to come. Love all the KFS content. Thank you so much. We love having you here. Makes this Knicks fan in London feel like we got CPM in London. We got someone in Australia. We got someone in Holland. I mean, what more can you want? Knicks fans worldwide, Knicks fans united. God, super chat, busy man. Thank you so much, Pedro Partida. Again, he's our best point guard. Wink, wink. Kevin Carey, good wing, good win, not wing. I had wings earlier today; they were very good. Julius's vision was on full display today. Absolutely, Elf is the only guy to take a wide open pull up 15-footer and airball it by 3 feet. There's been like probably a dozen moments this season where I've looked at something Elf has done and I've been like, okay, that's it. It can't get worse than that. And then he does something else. It's worse than that. Flava Phrase, is Rose injured? He looked banged up and then disappeared. What's the story? Again, if I get a chance to ask Tibbs a question, I'll ask him. Maybe someone else will. Al Diddy, what's going on, Al? Appreciate all you do, Macri. Man, a lot of appreciation here, and all the appreciation should be going this way. The analysis is always on point, and you've helped us get through this pandemic with your shows. Thank you. Really, that means means a lot. This season has been amazing, and your reactions after wins are great. Come on, you gotta ask a question at least. I struggle with these compliments. Thank you very much, Al Diddy. Robert Cross, fair enough, but my belief is if you swap Elf with Frank, the Knicks are an Eastern Conference Finals contender. I think you could argue they're an Eastern Conference Finals contender right now. Yeah. I mean, Frank's a much better player than Payton. He's a better defender. He's a better shooter. I don't have an argument. Yeah. Yes. The Knicks are better. The Knicks would be better with Frank in the starting lineup. I feel bad because you guys come to me for like cogent analysis and like, you know, for theories about why things are the way they are. And with the Payton thing, I'm out, guys. I'm sorry. I'm out. I'm on empty. Imad Khalil, John, there was a night a couple of months ago when I cheekily said to you to smile. We're a good team. You smile back and you never look back. Keep smiling. You are our good luck charm tonight. So the reason why, thank you, by the way, I'm not going to stop smiling anytime soon. This is a good team. And they're on the cusp of being a really good team. And maybe even a great one. They're close. My wife took the older one, Scarlet Ray, for Ralph's Ices. And when she came back with the stroller, it was the last 10 seconds of regulation. And I helped her in and I had to get the baby out because it's whatever. So I'm holding the baby and the last 10 seconds of regulation, and it got us into overtime. So I'm like, that's it. I'm not putting the baby down. And then I held the baby for the whole overtime. And I figured, yeah, so she was the good luck charm today. I'm glad I could be your good luck charm. All right. What else? Tibbs is taking a while. I wonder what he's saying. We got a Bayside shout out here. AE Kennedy, I'm in Sierra Leone. Wow. Send Elf. Oh, send Elf here. I don't want to do that to Sierra Leone. I've heard Sierra Leone is a lovely place. I don't want to do that to you guys. I'll pay for the ticket. Go Knicks. Thank you, AE Kennedy. DalSim25, it's Sean. Oh, what's going on, Sean? NY to Nola Doc from Twitter. How are you, man? And I have to continue with the compliments. Why are you guys doing this to me? This team and Knicks fam has pulled me through the pandemic. Listen, we've pulled each other through the pandemic because if I didn't have something to do every day by writing that newsletter and talking to you guys on pods, I would have gone crazy. So
I set up dinner.
Thank you. I'm going to get to the rest of the Super Chats in a minute. We got Coach.
Oh, yeah.
Smiling.
Yeah, Coach.
Everyone, Coach is here. If you have a question, raise your hand and I'll bring you into the room. Rebecca Harlow. Coach, congrats on the win. You know, in overtime there, Julius completely just took over the game between finding himself in the line and then dishing to his teammates in those first couple minutes to give you guys control. In those moments, are you looking for him to run certain plays or do you just say, go do your thing?
Well, I thought he and Alec, we had really good chemistry on a two-man game. And then their responsibility is to read the game. What are they doing?
Real quick, they don't win this game without Alec Burks. I know he didn't score a ton of points, but.
It's all for that. Anytime we can get you onto the ball, just got to make the right reads.
Two on the ball.
Get to your spacing. And then it created a lot of easy offense for us.
Steve Popper.
Hey, Tom. Was it just a decision of the lineup, or was Derek okay? And also RJ, I saw at one point, we saw that.
Both guys are fine.
Both guys are fine.
Just the way the game was unfolding. We had started off the third quarter really well, and then we hit a lull, and we were just trying to find a group that could go, and that group ended up going well, so we stayed with them longer. So, but they're fine. They'll be ready to go tomorrow.
Okay.
Mark Berman?
That was my guess.
Yeah, just along those lines, how is Derek doing? And is he on any sort of minutes restriction? I saw he was at 25.
Our goal is to win. So whoever gives us the best chance to win, that's who's going to be on the floor. And, Derek's behind it. If he's not in the game, he's rooting for his teammates. And that's the way it should be. And so some nights it's someone else's night. And that's the way we're going to play. So I thought Alec, their guards posed some problems. I thought Alec, Reggie, and Quick got off to a good start tonight. They were playing a lot of zones, so we wanted more shooting on the floor.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I thought we shot the three fairly well, but we had a big lead. And then we let our guard down. We can't do that. No lead is safe in this league.
Steve Popper.
Two things. Just talk about the defense today, the last 6 minutes of regulation and overtime. And also, the players have said they scoreboard watch. Will you watch that Milwaukee-Miami game tonight? See the effect on you guys?
Well, we have to go step by step. So we have a quick turnaround. We have to be ready for Boston. You can't worry about the other teams, but it's your business. So you're aware of what's going on. For us, the big thing was to take care of home court, take care of the game that we have at hand. If we take care of all the little things, the big things will take care of themselves. So that's the way we've approached the whole season. We haven't changed one bit. Be ready for Boston. Back-to-back home game for us. Play for 48 minutes and then go on to the next one after that. But I think it is important for everyone to understand the business, who's in it, how every game impacts something. So I want them studying the league as well.
Jamie Harris.
Coach, Charlotte had 10 offensive rebounds in the first half. Coming out for the second half, did you emphasize to your team the need to control your defensive glass?
Yeah, I didn't like their, and again, to their credit, that they're hard to guard, they're quick. They can crack you off the dribble, and then it puts you in hell.
This team gave them a lot of problems.
Cover, challenge the shot, and then
just being able to put the ball on the floor.
I thought we weren't finishing our defense.
No.
A lot of it was it stemmed from getting cracked off the dribble. And so we got a better read on it. And then, in the end, I thought the rebounding was better late, but that's something that has to be fixed.
Ian Bigley.
Hey, Tom, excuse me, Alfred Payton, he's been around, I guess, 12, 15 minutes for a while now, but it's just a little jarring to see that in the box score because he's your starting point guard. Is that tonight, was that just specifically a function of how the game was going?
We got a deep team. We're using everyone.
He's never going to give you anything.
Team support. He has great
I love Ian. Frank came in. He keeps asking.
You know, he's always ready.
God bless you.
But his gift is his defense. So
never going to give in.
So we want to take advantage of what everyone's strengths are, and we want the group to function well together. So everyone prioritize winning. Everyone's got to sacrifice for the group. Roles are different, but the commitment to the team is the same for everyone.
Peter Boddy.
Nerlens had 5 blocks, could add a couple more even. Just what does he add? You talk about the rise in intensity for you guys defensively.
Yeah, well, I thought that was a big part of the start of the third. His gift is obviously the rim protection. Also, his pick and roll defense is outstanding. Those blocks were huge for us. Got us into the open floor, created some easy scores. And you're right, he probably could have had a couple more. One he knocked in. The other one I thought was real close that ended up being a goaltending play. But then he alters a lot of shots because everyone's looking for him. So he has great value. He's the anchor of the defense. And then, of course, what Reggie does, whoever gets going, that's Reggie's going to be on him. So I think their commitment to our team and what they bring to the team are invaluable. So we needed everyone tonight.
Thank you, Coach.
He's never gonna give anything on Alfred. It's not gonna happen. He's been around too long. He's too good at this shit. He's never gonna give anything. And just to echo some, I don't know if I mentioned it explicitly earlier, but I thought Nerlens Noel was outstanding. And like the blocks are great, like you love the blocks, but I thought I actually thought his pick and roll coverage it wanes and waxes and wanes. And I thought today on the whole, it was pretty good. I thought he was a good, the better matchup for this team than Taj. And I have not always thought that in recent weeks. Sam L. Let's get back to the Super Chat. And then we'll talk about Julius Randle because I've been talking for 26 minutes. I haven't talked about Julius Randle. So checking in from Saratoga. We are a 40-win team. Let's go, Bucks! Obi is continuing to give us good minutes and starting to look like a baller. Hey, how about this? How about them apples? Obi Toppin, 8 for his last 17 from deep. 8 for his last 17? This guy wasn't hitting the fucking backboard midway through the season. He's 8 for his last 17 from deep. Love it. We had Kevin Danishevsky in the Super Chat, but I can't see what it was. Oh, yeah. Here we go. What's your ideal lineup to close the game? It depends on game to game. I mean, you know, generally speaking, here's what I'll say. It always is going to contain it's always going to contain Julius. And barring a really not great shooting game, it's probably always going to contain Reggie Bullock. I think there are nights where it might not have RJ. I think there are nights where it might not have Quickly. I think there are even nights where it might not have Rose. I think you're going to need a center. I'm more comfortable with a center out there. So Julius, Reggie, a center. And then more often than not, I'll probably go Rose and RJ. But honestly, if I'm just telling you guys the truth, I think with Burks – Burks is right there with those two guys, with RJ and I guess, God, it's so tough. It's so tough because, like, what do you – like, should Burks not be in the closing lineup? What, like, look at what he's done this year. Look at what he's done. He's consistently been their best clutch player. He runs the offense. Like, but then what am I going to do? Am I going to say RJ should be on the bench? I don't say that either. Reggie Bullock's firing 7.5 threes a game since the All-Star break and is hitting 42 – something percent on those, like the guys are like it's so difficult. So choose from those six, and I guess I'm leaving Quickly on the bench, which is fucking crazy. But yeah, I'm leaving Quickly on the bench. So I hope that's some semblance of an answer. Robert Cross, has Noel's emergence changed the front office's approach to Mitchell Robinson in the offseason, or is Mitch still in the long term plans? I'm gonna be very unequivocal about this. I think Mitch is still in the long-term plans. And I think if there's one of those guys that's going to go, I think it's going to be Noel. And I think the reason is because someone's going to pay Noel. And I think part of the reason is because they're going to have some advantageous negotiations with Mitch. I think the health thing is an issue. I think what they think is going to happen, if this foot thing is going to linger, I think that's a factor. But also, do they need to throw Mitch in a big trade? Would be the other factor. But if you're asking me right now, I'm going to say that I think Mitch is going to be the one of those two guys that stays. And my gut feeling is that 50, you know, again, even odds, I say Noel is not going to stay, because I do think someone's going to pay him. I could be wrong, but we'll see. Gut feeling. Jean-Baptiste Biron might be late to the party, but the day Julius passes in the last 2 minutes of a game the way he did in overtime, will close game with cleaner underwear. Yeah, you know, let's talk about Julius. Look, the guy had a 30-point triple-double, which deserves context, because Russell Westbrook's had a lot of 30-point triple-doubles that mean nothing. 13 assists for Julius Randle, 25 shots. How many turnovers did he have? He had 4 turnovers. Okay. So he had 13 assists to 4 turnovers. Like, you can't complain about that game. Did he call his own number one or too many times in the end of the fourth quarter? Yeah, probably. But as I mentioned a few live streams ago, if he gets to the point where he gets to that last, like, crosses that last bar where he's making, like, he's not calling his number one or two too many times, and he's, like, you know, making the correct play every time down the stretch, then he's a top 10 player in basketball. So really what we're talking about is getting him from, like, top 15 to, like, top 10. Amazing game by Julius Randle. Obviously, they're not close without Julius Randle. They're not in this season without Julius Randle. We were talking about it in the locker room earlier today. Without Julius Randle, do they win 20 games? I don't know. Genuinely don't know. He's that good. Don Cappuccini, 6 triple-doubles for Julius. I'll say it again. I love Melo, but Julius, with his intangibles and improved defense, Julius, you'll take us much farther down the road. I think Julius's defense at his best is it better than Melo's when he was really trying? Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I don't know if Melo never tried on defense for a full season like Julius is trying this season. So, yeah, he has him on defense. You know, Melo's a top 10 shot creator in the history of the league. But, you know, Julius with the passing, Melo never passed like this. And then the leadership, you saw him. He pulled RJ aside after RJ got the tech. He pulled Peyton aside. Like, he's the leader of the team. Like, there's no question about that. And honestly, I don't think it matters who they get this offseason. I think Julius is going to be the leader of the team for as long as he's here, as he should be. He's earned that, right? And he's earned it with his performance, and he's earned it with his just how he's led. So, yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Dom with another comment here in the chat. And I was so against the addition of Randle 2 years ago, LMAO. Yeah, I was hoping for the best. I was preparing for the worst. I wrote a column before they signed him, and I was like, I would stay away from Randle if I had my druthers. I think I wanted them to sign Thaddeus Young instead. Shout out to me. So smart. Kevin Danishevsky, do you think Boston rests their guys with 7 locked in? Should we rest our guys if Miami loses and 4 is unlikely? Love what you do. Thank you so much. I don't think there's any chance in the world New York rests their guys, because there's a chance that Atlanta loses as well. So they only need, you know, granted, is it likely that Miami or Atlanta loses tomorrow? No. Is it possible? Does crazy shit happen sometimes? Yeah, crazy shit happens. So no, I don't think there's any chance we rest our guys. Do I think Boston rests their guys? Probably not, but you never know. If anybody's hurt, I'm sure they will, or needs a rest. Robert Cross again. Thank you again, my man. You're the best. Can we celebrate the end of the season with a playoff preview special and everyone eats chicken cutlets of their choice we're definitely going to be doing all kinds of playoff previews here at Knicks Film School. In terms of a Chicken Cutlet themed playoff preview, I'm going to think about that one. Let's see how we can work cutlets into the playoff preview. David Salamone. Noel was outstanding in the paint tonight. If Mitch is somehow healthy during our playoff run, should Noel still start and get more minutes? Okay. I've been saving this one. I was on the Tibbs pregame presser. Here's the thing. He said Noel's progressing or Mitch is progressing. He did not rule Mitch out for the playoffs. But he like the way he talked about it, where he was like, he's progressing. He's done well in his rehab. He's advanced to on-court activities. And then he was like, but he still has. And he ran off like four different things. I forget what they were. Maybe like, I don't know, one-on-one drills, three-on-three, five-on-five. And like my impression is like each one of those things is its own unique stage. It's not like he does a game of three-on-three and the next day he's doing a game of five-on-five and the next day he's in a game. I don't think that's how this works. My gut feeling is we will not see Mitchell Robinson in the first round of the playoffs. And that is because I do not think that we will see Mitchell Robinson in the first three or four games of the playoffs. And if theoretically Mitchell Robinson is prepared to play by game five or six, at that point, if you're in like a 2-2 series, are you going to switch it up then? Give the guy his first game action in months? I don't know if I see that. We got Julius.
Julius Randle's here. If you have a question, raise your hand and I'll bring you into the room. Rebecca Harlow. Julius, something that we didn't get to on the floor. Just curious, with everything that you've accomplished and what this team is doing, you know, I'm not sure who's more popular right now, you or Kaiden, but knowing how close you are to your family, what has it meant to have them on this journey with you?
That's amazing. It's amazing. To have my wife with me, she's seen it from the very beginning. A lot of hard work and, you know, sacrifice she's made on her end. And just to have my son be at an age where he kind of understands it. And he's like a super fan. I know he has more popularity than me, but he's a big fan. And I don't know if it's good or not. It gives him a lot of anxiety. Just playing, you know, the games, and the close games, he's really intense into it. So I'm glad that we're winning and he's able to experience that.
Mark Brennan.
Hey, Julius, still so much up in the air in terms of your first-round opponent. Are you going to try to watch tonight, or would you, Miami, Milwaukee, are you going to try to not really sit down and watch the game?
Yeah, I'll be watching. I think it's the only game on tonight, if I'm not mistaken. So, of course, I'll be watching. I watch games anyway, but obviously when it has something to do with us, I'll be watching. But whatever happens, happens. I will be ready for whatever the challenge is.
Stephon.
Hey, Julius, you guys have won 15 of your last 19 games. I mean, you guys reached a point where you're the team that other teams should want to avoid in the playoffs.
I can't speak for other teams, but whatever challenge or opponent there is for us, we'll be ready for it. We'll be excited and we'll accept the challenge.
Steve Popper.
Do these sort of games overtime seem like it was a lot of physical stuff, a little chirping back and forth? Does this start to feel like playoffs for you guys now as you're positioning? You know, every game has impact now.
Yeah, it's felt like that for a while, honestly. Every game we play, a lot of tough games, and then we want a road trip. Everybody's gearing up for playoffs and positioning and stuff like that. So every game has really felt like that type of intensity and environment. So I think it's prepared us.
Thank you, Julius.
He's awesome. Great jersey, by the way, too. One more thought on Noel. I do think if the Knicks make it to the second round of the playoffs, then I would think we're going to see Mitch. Not as a starter, but I think in like little 5, 6, 7 minute bursts to start. But I think we'll see him then. Let's get some more comments in the Super Chat. You guys are great today. Thank you. Emil Boumansour. I feel like the Bucks will lose on purpose to force the Knicks-Bucks first round. Why would they want to play the Heat? Fuck that. Why would they want to play the Knicks? You know, just saying. I don't think they're going to lose on purpose tonight. Verunsky's take. Do you think we should throw $15-odd million for Lauri Markkanen this offseason? Hell no. People forget he averaged 19-8 two seasons ago. It's not that I don't think Lauri Markkanen can be a good, useful player in this league. Where's he going to play, though? Because in a perfect world, Obi Toppin is a better version of Lauri Markkanen. And Lauri Markkanen's not a five. He's a four. And we already got one of those. But I think, you know, someone should throw $15 million at him. Jason, I'm worried about the Bucks are going to – are you worried about the Bucks are going to throw the game tonight? I really don't think they're going to throw the game. I really don't think they're going to throw the game. Not with I'm assuming the Nets won today. I should know that, obviously. But can somebody Andrew, did the Nets – I'm looking it up right now. I mean, who are they even playing? I know Andrew was paying very close attention to the game. Nets 105, Bulls 91. Thank you, Andrew. You know, but Milwaukee has the tiebreaker, and you never know what could happen tomorrow. I would be surprised if they rested guys. I'd be surprised. But I've been wrong before. God knows. I will be wrong again. Dalsim 25. We need an end of the season Knicks fam get together. Knicks fan TV, Strickland, etc. I'll even fly in from Louisiana. You know, it's funny. My wife mentioned this today. Are you going to do a meetup for the playoffs? And I just think with like, you know, with restrictions on like gatherings and everything, and who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated, it would be, you know, it would be a little tough. That said, you know, well, maybe we'll kick the tires on an idea. Definitely next season, though, because lots more good Knicks basketball to come. This is not going to be our last playoff run. Oh, here we go. Matt Smith. Bucks have shifted from -5 to +3 over the last 18 hours. Vegas must be expecting them to rest. Guys, I don't know. Maybe I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. God, but why would they? So they're going to throw the game to avoid the Heat so they could play the Knicks and send that message that we don't want to play the Heat in the first round. We don't want to play that lower seed. I mean, I get it. I raised that possibility on Twitter yesterday. I don't know, man. I mean, if that's what the fuck, yeah, like they have Giannis Antetokounmpo, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and like, come on, like they might do it, but I don't know. Yeah, and if they arrest guys, bring them the fuck on. And Bud should be scared because Bud's gonna get out coached badly in that series, and he knows it, and we know it. Okay, I think we're good. I'll take a few more comments in the chat, and then we'll wait for the last Nick to take the podium, and then we'll get out of here. Fuck the Bucks. Yeah, I mean, look, if it's the Bucks, they can beat the Bucks because they already have beaten the Bucks. We know they can beat the Bucks. All right, Netherlands.
Netherlands, if you have a question, raise your hand and I'll bring you into the room. Rebecca Harlow. Netherlands, this Knicks team doesn't win this game today without your blocks and regulation and then what you were able to do on both ends of the floor and over time. Can you just describe the intensity of what is happening on the floor right now when you guys are still in a position to be in fourth, fifth, or sixth? And have you found that you always excel under pressure?
Oh, you know, this team is, you know, built in the best way possible. You know, guys do their job, and, you know, we know what we have to do game by game. You know, we're not worried about what the opponents, you know, intentions are. We're just focused on, you know, game by game, trying to secure the fourth seed. And, you know, today was a good test for us. You know, a young, hungry team, just like last game in San Antonio. So we're going to get that. And it's really going to, you know, have some shape for this stretch to the playoffs. And, yeah, I thrive. I thrive in the fourth quarter. You know, I just feel like I got something in me that comes out, comes alive, especially in moments like that, you know, different moments, the big moment. And, you know, anything from my team, especially in situations like that, you know, I was mad about. Close there, flick up. I didn't get to that. I could have, you know, set the game off that. So, you know, I was locked in even more. So, secure this game.
Mark Berman.
Hey, New Orleans, you know, your playoff opponent still is undetermined with only one game left. Do you, like, watch the game tonight, Miami, Milwaukee, or you just want to not even watch it? And is there a preferred opponent?
Yeah, I'll be locked in on that. I just checked on the pass on.
Hey, Croatia.
Have to find
that game. What's going on,
man? Watch it and, you know, study. Miami's a, I got to tell exactly what might happen if they lose, but I know they're trying to get that. They see to solidify their position, but really focus on ourselves. No matter who wins, who loses, you know, we have to show up. No matter who we're playing against, and play 48 minutes of basketball.
Steve Topper.
No, for all this talk of seeding and where you guys wind up, with the way you guys have played since the start of April, I think the most wins in the league. Have you guys become a team that you think teams should want to avoid come postseason?
Berman really does want to know who's put what.
You know, I heard some whispers early on this season through the middle of the season. I mean, I think they know we're definitely a pretty hard playing team that's, you know, able to play on both ends of the court, you know, especially when our defense is clicking. You know, it could be a type of nightmare. So, you know, I'm very, very confident in our abilities. I think no matter who the matchup is, we'll be right and ready to go. We got guys that do their job, and when that's the scenario, I mean, success is that much easier.
The chat's awesome with the Berman stuff.
Guys here, so I feel
confident. Bondi.
Hey, no, when you said you heard whispers, it was not that you said that you heard whispers that teams didn't want to play you guys?
No, I just like chilling watching ESPN, Stephen A. Smith, really. I mean, I knew what he was saying. He said teams don't want to play us down the stretch of the playoffs. So
why would you watch Stephen A. Smith?
You know, with the defensive first mentality, you know.
Philippines, shout out, Rick. What's going on, Rick?
You know, defense is what you want to lay your hat on. So, you know, I feel like we have that. And, you know, definitely makes sense to say that from a guy like that.
Bobby Childs.
Nerlens, you know, as you play protect the rim out there, you take a lot of hits below the belt out there. So what's the comp? You got one tonight against Zeller. You know, what's the conversation with other players when they give you the inadvertent knees?
And deserve that tape. I know that's right. But, yeah, no, that's not how you play basketball. Just to keep it simple, you know, you got to try to avoid that if you're the offensive player. I know the league has dealt with that over the past 3-4 years, so that's what it is. You know, I play hard regardless, and you know, I play through any of that.
Hey, Nerlens, how are your nuts?
You know, it's what it is. I got to fix that, though, because that's not – yeah, I didn't mean it truly, so that's not good. What's it?
Thank you, Nerlens.
Thank you, Nerlens. I hope your nuts are fine. I want to read this comment from Rick. John, I remembered early in the season I told you that the Knicks should build on Julius, and – you laughed off my comment. Anyway, great win. Appreciate you, John. We here. I did. I'm sure I laughed it off. I'm sure I laughed it off because, and this will be the last thing I say. How could anyone have imagined anything even approximating this could have come out of Julius Randle this year? I mean, we've made the comparison, I think, to like Victor Oladipo. Victor Oladipo was in the league for 5 years, and then in his sixth season, he had the All-NBA run with Indiana. But, like, you could even look at that as, like, there were signs of him kind of figuring it out. And then in Oklahoma City for that year, I think he was only there for a year, he just really didn't have the opportunity. He was a spot-up guy. So, like, you could be like, oh, wow, he got an opportunity, and look what he's doing with it. Julius had the opportunity last year, you know, in a dysfunctional organization, but he had the opportunity. It's just, this is the most out-of-the-blue New York success story in the history of sports, this side of Linsanity. and that lasted 3 weeks. This has lasted 72 games. So, you know, with all due respect to Jeremy Lin, you know, this is real. This is sustainable. Just unreal. Just unreal stuff from Julius Randle. Unreal stuff from the Knicks. And most of all, unreal stuff from Knicks Nation today. Thank you for your comments in the chat and the super chat. I can't believe tomorrow's the end of the regular season. I can't believe it. In some ways, it feels like yesterday that I was coming on here. Actually, no, I wasn't coming on here and talking about the loss of the Pacers because I was still doing these things on what was that shitty app? Periscope. And then Periscope stopped working, and I was able to come in here and do this. And I'm very thankful that Periscope sucks. Thank you again for everybody for the contribution to the Super Chat. Leon, still put that, man, you guys are amazing. Leon C. Pixar drops the Knicks joke in Seoul, and then the Knicks go on a great run. Coincidence, I think not. Yeah, for sure, man. Absolutely. The Knicks joke. Because didn't Seoul – I know Andrew will back me up on this. Didn't Seoul drop on Christmas? I think Seoul dropped on Christmas, and if I recall, the Knicks were – that was they lost their first game, obviously. I think their second game was the day after Christmas. And then, yeah, that movie dropped, and then here we go. God, you guys keep coming in with the super chat. Dalsin 25 wanted to go from Fade for Cade to now let's go for a title. Yeah, you know, talk about the turnaround from Julius Randle. How about the turnaround in this fan base? Shout out Kemp Powers, yes. But like, another thing that, and I promise I'm going to end it after this. I will never forget. There are certain podcasts that stick with me, and the one podcast from before the season that sticks with me is when we learned that they were going to have a 72-game year, and there was the report that the Knicks were going to – it was going to be a division-heavy schedule, and the Knicks were probably going to play – and at that point, we were thinking, are the Knicks going to play, like, the Nets, Raptors, Sixers, and Celtics, like, 8 times each? You know, 10 times? Like, we didn't know what was going on. And I sat here, and I recorded on a podcast with Jeremy, and I'm like – and this is – oh, this is before free agency. And I'm like, I don't think there's anything the Knicks could do that would make them not a bottom five team. Let them sign Van Fleet. I still think they're a bottom five team. That was me saying that. And my God. And that was after they had hired Tibbs, and I was high on Tibbs. And but my thought was like they would be in a lot of games. They would just lose a lot of close games. You know, we'd see some development. They would probably trade Randle after a few weeks, a month, 2 months, whatever. Just absolutely out of the blue. Out of the fucking blue, this season has been, which is as many have said, is what makes it so special. So, you know, good job by all of us. The merch store, if anybody wants it, let me stand up a little bit. So I got the New York 2021 playoffs We Here shirt on. You could purchase this in the merch store. Are we undefeated in afternoon games? We might be. I should probably, yeah, that's awesome if we are. Shout out to Andrew. Shout out to all of you. And enjoy your Saturday night. Don't tell anyone. I'm going to try to convince my wife to order Domino's because I am in the mood for some shitty takeout pizza. I don't want good pizza. I'm in the mood for some shitty takeout pizza. And something that I could dip, a sauce that I could dip my pizza into, which Domino's has. So here's hoping the Macri household gets some Domino's tonight, and I could have my shitty pizza, and I will see everybody tomorrow. We don't have Papa John's here in Massapequa Park, Andrew. Sorry. If there was Papa John's, I would do Papa John's instead. Anyway, all right. I'll see everybody later.